Don't you just love it when God takes you on a detour? I know you don't. I know you hate it, and you're thinking, God, what in the world am I doing? And last week, we talked about the purpose of detours, and today I want to talk to you about the pathway through the detours. And go ahead and get your Bibles ready, and get ready to go to Genesis 39, but also just grab in just a moment James chapter 1 and verse, start at verse 2 in just a moment. And while you're doing that, let me just remind you, you know, next Sunday, everybody, we're going to have communion together. I want you to join us with communion, and I know some of you may not have the traditional elements that we normally have here at the church, but I want to encourage you, just get something at your house, some type of juice or some bread or cracker, because these are emblems to help us remember what Jesus did. So next Sunday, we're going to have communion together as a family right where you are, okay? Well, we started this series on detours, and we talked about the purpose of detours, and we're taking the life of Joseph here, and remember, God gives him a dream. He's a little Jewish boy at 17 years of age. He has this dream, and he sees these bundles of grain bowing before him, and it symbolizes nations that will bow to him. And ultimately, he would become the prime minister in Egypt, a Jewish boy, a prime minister in Egypt. And it would save Israel during a famine that would have wiped out the lineage of the Jews. But from the time he's 17 till the time he finally gets to that dream, it's nothing but heartache. The reality of it doesn't seem to be happening. It's 13 years of detours. And God keeps doing this, but God has taken him to his destiny. And in the middle of it, there's a lot of heartache that he's experiencing. And some of you may be feeling some heartache right now. It might be financially. It might be domestically. It might be relationally. It might be physically. What is God saying in all of this to you, okay? And what we did discover last week, just to remember, is that it's that detours develop you for your destiny. God is producing something in you. So I want you to flip and keep your finger over at Genesis 39 and also Genesis 40, because we're going to land in there in just a moment. But I want to take you back to a scripture that I read last Sunday, and I want you to hear this again from James. I want it to speak to you by the power of the Holy Spirit again. And look what he says. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Look at this. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. There's nothing worse than going to your destiny and not being developed. It can actually destroy people. So God is saying, I am doing this, and look at the opportunity for what I'm doing. Your faith is being tested. It's a test. Just say, it's a test. Don't ever let the enemy talk you out of who you are and where God's taking you, okay? Because really, seriously, I'm just telling you something. The favor of God is on you. You may not feel like it in the middle of this detour, but God's favor is on you, okay? And the enemy's trying to use this to destroy you. But just remember, you're God's favorite. Just say it. You're God's favorite. Say it right at home. Look at your brother who really believes you're dad's favorite and say, I'm his favorite. Amen. Because God sees his favor on your life. But some of you are just going, Pastor, man, I wasn't expecting this. Listen, we don't want to trivialize this because detours are painful. I want to take you just for a moment through Joseph's painful detours. Last week we talked about the pit, how his brothers hated him. He hated the dream. They hated him for the way he said it. They stripped him of his robe and then they threw him down in a pit. They lied to the father and said he'd been eaten by a wild animal. And then they sell him. They sell him to a band of Ishmaelites going to Egypt, selling this Jewish boy who has destiny going the opposite direction of the promise God was giving him. And it's going the wrong way. And it just, the pain was there. Could you imagine the pain when you're betrayed by your family? Some of you are experiencing that. You're betrayed by family. Do not let the enemy get you sidetracked with bitterness and offense. You keep on behaving in the Word of God. I want to talk about the pathway you need to take. But let's look at the next detour, the painful detour he had. You start having the detour he starts experiencing. After he gets out of the pit and gets sold, he's going to Egypt. But when he gets in Egypt, something happens. And there's a detour of the perverse. Now, when I say the word perverse, your immediate thought is perversion. And yes, it can be that. But the word perverse actually means willfully going counter to what is expected or desire. So many times when we think that we disobey God, we want to put it in the section, we say perverse, we think that it's just a sexual issue of sexual immorality. But it's any place where you willfully go counter to what God expects of you or he desires from you, even when you're in a detour. But we see for Joseph, it really was something that would turn to perversion. But there was something trying to get him to willfully go against what God wanted his life. And look what happens. It's Genesis 39 and verse 6. Look at this here. Because now he's been sold to a man by the name of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife's got the hots for him. And look what it says. It says, Joseph was very handsome and a well-built young man. It says, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Something starts happening to her. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. But I want you to look at verse 8. I want you to look at verse 8. It says, but Joseph did what? He refused. He said, I see this beautiful, attractive lady who constantly goes after me for me to sin. Now, what's happening here? In the detour of the perverse, this detour helped him control his morals. It helped him to stay faithful to God. Now look, Joseph was faced with this temptation. I mean, the temptation he was facing right now, man, it was stronger than Hercules on steroids. I mean, this was a tough one for him as a man. And when he's going through this and being tempted by Potiphar's wife, it's a no-win situation, everybody. He's in a no-win situation. Remember, he's sold as a slave, a servant. Potiphar puts him in charge of his family, and his wife goes after him. And here's what he's thinking. If I give in and I go ahead and just sleep with her, then I'm going to get a woman I don't deserve. And then he's thinking, too, if I don't give in to her, she's probably already threatening him. But if I don't give in, I'm going to get a punishment that I don't deserve for doing what's right. And you got to think about this. Every single day, this woman was coming after him. Every day. Coming after him to try to get him into bed. But he refuses every time. It didn't just happen once. Now, look, when you get in a detour of temptation, it's one thing when it's just once and it goes away. But this lady, you read the scripture. Read verse chapter 39. She comes after him every day, unrelenting. And every time he refuses. Remember, she grabs him by the coat. She drags him to her bedroom. Nobody will ever know. My husband will never know. But you know what he does? When she does this, finally when she grabs his coat, he runs. And he says, I'm going to leave the coat behind. I'm running. Let me just help you on this. When you're dealing with a detour of wanting to turn against God's expectation and desire of you, or when you're tempted, let me give you a word here. Don't let me give you a scripture. Let me give you a word. Just one word you need to remember when you're tempted to willfully go against God. Let me just give you one word. If you don't remember anything, don't forget this. Here's the word. Everybody, you ready? Here's the word. Run. That's it. Run. You say, what do you mean? No, when you don't know what to pray and you don't have time to pray, just run. Just run. When you can't call a prayer partner, your accountability partner, and say, hey, I'm being tempted, let me tell you, just run. When you don't have time to cast out demons and bind devils, just run. Just run, run, run. Run, Forrest, run. Just run. Okay? When it's coming to you, don't wait to call. I got to have pastor call me. I need to pray in tongues. Just get out of there. Just get out of there. Just run, okay? Just run. This guy just runs. And you remember what she did? He ran. She ripped his coat, and she lies to her husband, and she tries to entrap Joseph and said that he raped me. Look at Genesis 39, verse 19. It says, she tells him, he tried to rape me. That's what he tried to do. But look what Potiphar does. When she tells him this lie, Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph. Now look at this. He's gone through the pit. He's gone through trying to, the detour of the perverse. Look at this. So he threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. Here we go again. Pastor, I thought it was just the loss of a job. I thought it was just the breakup of the relationship and the marriage. Here I go again. And now he's in a place where he feels he remains, the detour of the prison. He does the right thing, makes the right call, chooses the right path. Look at this. And he still gets busted. He goes, I don't deserve this. Some of you are going, wait a minute, Pastor. I've been attending church. I'm in a small group. I've been tithing. I've been praying. I've been fasting. And this happens again. Let me tell you, the detour of the prison is the most painful place. You get falsely accused by somebody in the workplace. Your own family betrays you. And now you're stuck in a place. And he's guilty with no chance of proving that he's innocent. That's it. And some of you feel that. Pastor, what am I going to do? This is so painful, Pastor. It's my own family. It's someone on the job that lied about me. It's someone accusing me. Pastor, what do I do? And I know in my heart I did the right thing before God. Let me tell you the game changer. You might be in a prison, and this is very painful, but never forget the game changer I told you about last week. Never forget the game changer. It's Genesis 39, verse 21. You ready for this? But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. And even in the prison, he showed him his faithful love. I can't explain everything. I don't understand why everything happens. I don't know why this detour may have occurred and people falsely accused you and people lied about you, people stole from you, people abandoned you and they rejected you. And sometimes you might even be blaming God, but I'm going to tell you something. But the Lord was with Joseph. And I want you to say that again. I want you to, instead of putting the word Joseph in there, I want you to shout your name out. Come on, right now, no matter where you are, right at home. Come on, join me, everybody. Teenagers, join your mom and dad right now. Here we go, ready? And the Lord was with, come on, right in the prison, and God is showing you faithful love. He's showing you faithful mercy in the middle of it, so never forget this. No matter how painful it is, God loves you. His hand is on you, and the devil is not going to win. Come on. You cannot stay in that pit 1 second longer when God says, I'm ready to move you to the next thing. And maybe you're going from one detour to the next, the pit, the perverse, the prison. You say, Pastor, I don't know. Listen, don't forget, he's with you, he loves you, and he's going to show you a way out to your destiny. Okay, but that I get that, Pastor, but what do I do while I'm in it? This is the biggest thing I want to speak to you, and I pray it resonates with me about Joseph's life that I want you to take. There's a pathway through detours. There's a pathway through it. Now, you know, when I was doing this message, the Holy Spirit just dropped something in my heart that you need to understand. It's one thing when God detours you. Even when the enemy thinks he's winning and God's saying, you have no clue what you're doing, you're setting this person up. You can send Jesus to the cross, but it's a setup for his destiny. You know? But there's something, it's one thing when God puts you on a detour. It's another thing when you create detours in your life that God never created. Satan didn't even create him. You created him. That's the kind when you need to say, Lord, help me to realize when I've created a detour, when I should have yielded to you and followed your path instead of my path. But either way, whether God is allowing something or perhaps you created your own detours, I want to give you three things that Joseph did. All right, here we go. Ready? Here's the first thing. Number one, what I want you to do is keep obeying. Keep obeying. Just honor God's word. What Joseph did was Joseph kept obeying God. Now listen. You got to see what Joseph said to Potiphar's wife. You know, it wasn't just self-will. I'm just a young man, and I know it's not morally right to do this. He probably believed that. He said he could have been thinking, I could be killed, I could go to prison. He went to prison anyway, didn't deserve it. But I want you to look what really drove Joseph in his decisions, even when he's already been through the trouble of his brothers. Now he sits there and gets accused by Potiphar's wife. Now he's in a prison, but I want you to see what really drove him. Look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. When Potiphar's wife tells him, come on, nobody will know about this. We can carry it. She does it every day. She does it to him. Look what he says to her. He says, how could I do such a wicked thing? Look what he says. It would be a great sin against God. He didn't say great sin against Potiphar. He didn't say it's going to put me in jail. He says, ma'am, you don't seem to understand. As much as I'm questioning, God, why did you allow this to happen to me while I'm sitting in a pit? I'm going to tell you, ma'am, there is something that is my center. It is my core, and it's God. I don't want to grieve God. God is in charge of my life. I know God is. See, here's Joseph knew one thing. Here's what he knew. He knew God is with me. God gave me this dream. God is with me. And if God is with me, it's not you, woman. It's not that. It's not the results of sin. It is just I can't sin against my God. He is with me. And I know he's watching all this. 13 years he went through this garbage. And he knew God was seeing everything, that God was in the trial, that when he's being sexually tempted, he knows God is with me. When he wants to hold bitterness against his brothers, he knows God is with me. I got to do what's right before God. And can I tell you, you need to keep obeying like Joseph. Look what he chose. He chose trust over lust. He chose trust over lust. Sometimes we're not, it's not, lust is not about just a sexual appetite. It's that I lust for this money. I lust for this one thing. I want to have my way. You need to trust over the lust of what your heart is saying. You got to choose obedience over what's expedient. You know, if I just went and did this, I wouldn't have this hassle more. I just give into this temptation. I just throw up my hands and this is all a big joke, this serving God thing. Listen, it may seem expedient and a momentary satisfaction, but be obedient over expedience. See, he, you know, Joseph could have thought, nobody would know about this. You know, she'll keep it secret. She wouldn't have kept it secret. It ended up killing him anyway. Let me just tell you something. What he knew was, first of all, this is me and God. And what he understood was that secret faults always lead to moral earthquakes. It always surfaces. The surface begins to break. Something is seeing your character, your nature. And my word to you is the same thing that Joseph had in it. I can't sin against God because God is with me and he's watching. And I know he's got a purpose in all this. I can't figure it out right now, but in my heart, I will never sin against God. So my word to you is keep obeying what God said. Keep obeying. Keep obeying. Here's the next thing the Holy Spirit showed me in this teaching is that you got to not just keep obeying, you got to keep growing. Now, when I talk about growing, I'm talking about movement. I'm talking about action. I'm talking about ministering beyond yourself. You got to keep on growing. What happens so many times is when a detour comes to us, especially sometimes even death and grief, we just curl up in a fetal position and just say, what's the use of going on? Or you get abused and you think, just curl up. Or you don't feel like you're out of control, that everybody, the government's in control. I got no control. So you just curl up and you just give up. Or the sickness is in control. So you just curl up and just say, what's the use of even trying? No. When you're in a detour and you're in a prison where you remain, you got to keep growing. Movement, action. And here's two things that I want you to see. I want you to, first of all, keep growing yourself. Grow yourself. Listen, in the prison, in the pit, in the moment that you're in that detour, when you do nothing to prepare for or to move toward the promise that God showed you, the dream God actually showed you that one day would happen, you can actually delay his plan for you that he has when you stop growing yourself. When you do nothing, you prepare, you don't move forward, and you start saying, that's the promise of God, I'll move forward. You can actually delay what God has planned. I'm telling you something. Many people sit around and just meditate on unrealistic ideas. And they say, quote, I'm waiting on the Lord, when they're just doing nothing. They're waiting for that special break. They're waiting for that check in the mail that they've won the sweepstakes. And they never further themselves. They never develop their education. They never have conversations with people who went through the same things to see how they process through it. They're just waiting for God. They never look at, okay, maybe I need to get a budget and maybe speak to someone that can help me budget. And some of you may be going through financial things. I want you to know here at the church, we'll help you get a budget during this time. We'll help you assess things. All you got to do is call the GR First Care hotline right there. We'll help you learn how to get your budget. But some people never want a budget. They don't want to steward what they already have. How do I steward what I have? They say, I'm just waiting for God to dive bomb on healing, but you're not listening to what the doctor told you to do. You're not exercising, and you want God to dive bomb us with healing, but we won't exercise. We won't change our diet. I'm preaching better than you're letting on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we're not growing ourselves. We're not saying, God, what do you want to do inside of me? And listen, for some of us, our biggest enemy, sometimes in this realm when we stop growing, our biggest enemy is not Satan. Our biggest enemy is ourself. We become the biggest enemy because we just stay in that deal, you know, just stay in that mode. They're never seeking counsel, never saying, God, how can I develop myself? What is it that the Holy Spirit's saying to you? Okay, I want you to start growing in this area. Here's the deal with Joseph. Let me show you something. He kept growing. Watch this. He kept growing. Let's look at this. This is so cool. Go to verse 22. I got so blessed by this. Look at this. It says, before long. So he's in prison. He's in the prison. Watch what happens to him. Listen, prisoners have no clout when they come in. They don't care who you are. The warden and the guards don't care who you are. But look at this. There was a season he was in there. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord, here it is, the Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. It was growing. What was Joseph doing? He didn't just say, well, I'm in a prison here. I got accused. I'm never going to get out. Potiphar is a high-ranking official. He's probably telling people to shorten my food and just beat me a little extra because I'm a prisoner in here. But you know what he did? There was something he was doing that warden was watching him. This guy is developing. He's not bitter. He's not callous. He's not saying, well, I was wrong. Nobody believes my story. He didn't. Sometimes you can get in a situation where you're thinking, well, just forget it. If this is what Christianity is, I'm just giving up. And you stop growing yourself. You stop building your faith. Listen, here he was, a young man who was so respected by his dad, a pretty coat, and now he's in a prison. What I'm trying to tell you is this wasn't Joseph's ideal job, but he kept growing. I wonder, maybe some of us have griped and complained about our job, and for the last several weeks it's been taken away. And we lost our gratitude. And we stopped developing and say, how can I help this company be better? Maybe I should stop showing up 10 minutes late and leaving 10 minutes early. Maybe I should stop taking little items from the workplace for my own personal stuff at home. But I don't like this job. Here he was going, this is not my ideal job, but I'm growing and I'm going to help this warden. And the warden sees it and he says, we're going to elevate you in prison and we're going to be in charge. And the guy says, I have no worries because this guy kept growing. Let me ask you a question. In this time of not having your job, what is God telling you to grow? Is there a new skill you're taking up? Maybe it's ballroom dancing with your wife. Come on, push the furniture back, man. Get a YouTube and... you know, go after it. Go. Maybe it's a new career path. Maybe God put the brakes on this one because he says, what I want you to do, like the children of Israel, is I got to stop the blessing of Egypt to get you to start looking at the promised land. I need you to see there's a new thing I've been talking to you about that's buried and it's died. You need to rekindle that. Maybe he's telling you that you need to call the community college or that vocational school and say, I want to put you on a new path. It's something that was buried in you. And you're saying, God, it's time for me to grow. Maybe it's spiritually. Maybe it's spiritually it's time to grow. Maybe it's time to get in the grow classes and we're going to crank those back up where you can start growing in the Lord. Maybe it's time to be a part of a small group. You've been isolating yourself and you're not growing in the Lord because you're not connecting with people. So no matter where you are in Grand Rapids or out of our state or in a different country, you can join a small group right now. Just go on that chat room right there. You'll see it. Enter the small group. Go get in that and start growing yourself with other people. Laugh with them. Rejoice. Listen to how they went through their detours. Keep on growing. Grow yourself. This is a time Joseph kept developing, even in a job he hated. He said, no, I'm going to learn something. Because the way he was learning to organize there would one day take him to be a prime minister, learn how to organize all of Egypt in a famine. It all counts, even in the detours you don't deserve. He didn't just grow himself. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You keep movement, motion, action. He was growing others around him. This is the place that gets tough. Sometimes it's easy for us to save our money for us, but maybe God wants you to save some of that money so you can start blessing other people in the midst of this who are going to tough stuff. You start growing and maturing others. Look at Genesis chapter 40. It's there. Go read it. I'm not going to read it for you. But here's the bottom line. Here's what happened. Joseph's in prison, and he sees two other prisoners, and he sees them depressed. You know, just go find a need and fill it. their dreams have come to an end, and they both had dreams, and he sees these guys depressed. Maybe you should just reach out to the neighbor who just seems so grumpy, so angry, so on edge. Maybe the Lord's using you because their antagonism is really their fear of what's going on around them. Go find the depressed. Well, guess what he does? He sees two guys depressed because they had a dream. It was the cupbearer and the baker of Pharaoh himself. And somehow these two guys have offended Pharaoh. That cupbearer has a dream. He's the one that carries the cup, taste the drink before Pharaoh gets it so no one can kill him. He's the cupbearer, and he offended Pharaoh, throws him in the prison. The baker offends him and throws him in the prison. They both have a dream. And the cupbearer says, he tells Joseph his dream. And Joseph said, let me tell you your dream. He starts ministering. He says, in 3 days, you're going to be hanging out with Pharaoh again. And when you get back to that place of prominence, I'm going to minister to you right here because I'm going to grow you. Not just myself, I'm going to grow you. Don't forget me. Remember me, okay? Don't forget me, okay? Because you're going to be hanging out with Pharaoh again. The baker goes, let me tell you my dream. And he tells me, he says, oh, your dream means something different. In 3 days, you won't be hanging out with Pharaoh. You're going to be hanging from a tree. He tells these two guys their dreams, and he's speaking to them. Now look at this. The cupbearer goes back to Pharaoh, and he says, don't forget me as I've ministered to you. I kept growing you. But the cupbearer completely forgets Joseph, and he sits in that prison another 2 years, and he forgets him. Here's my point. Joseph kept releasing ministry to others, even when others never returned the ministry back to him. It's going to teach you something powerful. You don't reap where you sow, you reap because you sow. I cannot tell you the countless people I have prayed for, wept for, and never heard a thank you. I can tell you the individuals that I've even blessed only for them to come back and offend and do something back to me. But I'm going to tell you something I discovered. You don't reap where you sow sometimes, but you reap because you sowed. And Joseph just keeps releasing ministry. He could have just said, that guy never came back. I'm just going to forget this. Forget it. This is just a big hoax. And I got him out of here, and he's not even... And listen, Joseph would not even do that. He kept pouring ministry. He kept ministering to others in that prison. And I'm going to tell you what begins to happen. Joseph is receiving revelation for other people while he's in that prison. He's telling them things. And I believe the reason Joseph receives revelation is because he's releasing ministry. He keeps on moving. He keeps growing, and he's growing other people. And I believe when God sees that, those who refresh others, they themselves will be refreshed. Let me break it down to where we are right now. In COVID-19, you have a lot of people ask this question. Pastor, is this God's judgment? Is this God's judgment? Is this the end of the world? Pastor, do you think this is the beginning of the end? Is this God's judgment? Good questions. But I'm going to be honest with you. They're the wrong questions. Could it be? Might be. Until I unequivocally know that it is, I'm not saying that it is. Is it the end of the world? Oh, I believe these are the birth pains of things coming, but there have always been plagues. And if the earth is groaning, longing to be restored and redeemed, I get that. But people say, keep wondering, is this the end, Pastor? Is this the end? Especially young people. Is this the end? Is this God's judgment? And they're living in fear. Is this the end? Is this God's judgment? Good questions, but the wrong questions. Here's what you need to be asking. What is God saying to me? The question is not, is this God's judgment? The question should not be, is this the end of the world? The question you ought to have is, what is God saying to me in this moment of this detour, of being in my home, of not having my job, of having to be sit here locked in with my siblings that one of them I can't even stand? I'm a college student. I ought to have my freedoms, and my parents are no. What is God saying to you? Because I truly believe that the reason why Joseph had the revelation and the refreshing to even endure when he blessed other people was he was growing himself, saying, God, what are you saying to me? And he was ministering to others. In fact, let me just say this. Holy Spirit just hitting this in my spirit. Sometimes we're looking for the voice of God, but the voice of God may be someone having a conversation with you, just like Joseph had a conversation with the cupbearer and the baker, but some of you aren't listening. Because in that time, it's not just about releasing ministry, but there may be people around there, you ignored their advice, you ignored the counsel of a pastor or a counselor, you ignored the advice of a financial advisor, you ignored the advice of your parents, you ignored the advice of your spouse, and you're in a situation and maybe God's trying to say something to you, not just through the word, but maybe it's the conversation of someone trying to minister to you again. Grow yourself and keep growing others. Oh, isn't that good? That's good. Here's the last thing I want to give you. Here's the pathway out. You got to keep believing. Keep obeying. Keep growing. Keep believing. And here's what I've discovered every detour I've ever been in my life. You must choose to believe that God will do what he has promised to you. You got to believe that those things that God spoke to me in that secret place, those things I can't get away from, and it just keeps gnawing at me. It may be resurfacing in this time. You got to believe. You've got to choose. It's a choice to believe that God will do what he promised he will do, even in the midst of all this. I love this scripture out of Habakkuk 2:3. You ought to go underline it. Habakkuk is complaining to God because Israel's in a backslidden condition and the nations have all come against him. And I mean, it's just falling apart for Israel. And God begins to show him, here's what I'm ultimately going to do with Israel. But look what he says. Look what God says in Habakkuk 2:3. He says to him, he says, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. Now, everybody underline this. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. Wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. He says, wait patiently. Come on, everybody just say it at home. Just say, wait patiently. Say it with me, come on. Wait patiently. And I know some of you are going, Pastor, that's the toughest thing. You know, part of this, part of all of us in this stay-at-home directive, I'm telling you, is you've got to have a lot of patience. You're just, God, come on, come on. But let me tell you something about patience. Patience isn't passive. True biblical patience, let me tell you, that kind of patience from the Word of God is an aggressive patience. Let me explain that. Patience isn't passive. Patience is an aggressive decision that I'm going to meditate on what God has spoken to me, and I'm going to believe what God has spoken to me about where he's taking me. That's patience. I am aggressively making a decision. I'm going to keep meditating. I'm going to let it leave my heart, and I'm going to believe it. I can promise you that that dream that Joseph had, he just kept remembering those bundles of grain, bowing. And he says, I know it meant something. I know it was something from God, and he kept holding and holding. And it kept driving him to say, God, I trust you. Because sometimes patience is often just a matter of just, I'm going to stand firm. Patience is a matter of just standing firm. And after I've done everything to stand, I'm just going to stand. After I've done everything I know to do, I'm going to believe God and I'm going to cling to it. After he has spoken to me, I'm going to choose to believe him and to believe that God is faithful and he's got this in control. You've got to believe that. Because it's coming. It may seem coming slow, but you cling to it. Because one thing you need to remember, that God's delay does not mean denial. Just because it's delayed does not mean denial. You got to understand something, everybody. God does not wear a wristwatch to work. He doesn't wear a wristwatch to work. He operates in the fullness of time. And remember that. Because God is the one who created time. But man is the one who created the clock. And so what we want to do is we want to put God on our time clock. And God says, I work in the fullness of the time. In other words, what he's saying to you, if you will keep obeying, if you will keep allowing me to grow you and let others see my glory out of you that grows them, and if you'll keep on believing, here's one thing you can know for sure about God. God is never too early. He's never too late. And he's always right on time. I just want you to know, when it comes to making your dream happen, all I can tell you is this, is you can't do God's part, all right? You can't do God's part. And here's another truth. He won't do your part. In the pain of the detours, follow the pathway of Joseph. Keep obeying. Keep growing yourself. What is God trying to say to me? Instead of, why is this happening? God, what are you saying to me? Is this what, God, what are you saying to me? And then grow others, movement, action, developing yourself. and keep believing. And when you keep on believing, you keep on growing in God, and you keep on obeying God, it's going to reignite your faith by reminding yourself that the dream God gave you is going to happen. As I take action, it's going to propel me into the direction of that destiny God has for me, because that's exactly what happened to Joseph. God's delay is not his denial. God's delay is not his denial. He's developing you. Follow the pathway through this detour.